Welcome to the Prosthetics and Orthotics Podcast with Joris Peels and Brent Wright, where we explore the latest developments and advancements in using 3D printing technology to create custom prostheses and orthoses, from in-depth interviews with leading industry experts, to case studies, to patient experiences. We delve into the exciting and innovative world of 3D printing and its role in the field of prosthetics and orthotics. Join us as we journey into the future of personalized healthcare with 3D printing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joris Peels, and this is the Orthotics and Prosthetics Podcast with Brent Wright. Welcome to the show, Brent.
Hey, Joris. Yeah, man, it's good to be on. I really look forward to today as well. And I wanted to give a shout out to Mike at Filament Innovations. I just love what he's doing up there in Pennsylvania. And I actually ran another socket on my Icarus high flow printer, and man, it was awesome, real quick, strong. I'm going to be fitting it this week. And there's so many other cool things that he is up to as well. He just told me that he's releasing a new printer called the Ares printer, which is pallets. And you can save up to 60% in materials just by printing in pellets. And yes, the machine's a little bit more expensive, but over the long haul, you can save a lot of money. So I really look forward to seeing what he's up to in the pellet realm, because there are going to be so many options for pellets and materials in the future.
Okay, cool. And if you would like a really robust, tough, as they come, really well-built material extrusion printer that you could use to make test sockets and all sorts of other stuff, you should check out Filament Innovations. And it's a very easy you guys to them, because it's a really wonderful product and really wonderful people as well. So who do we have on the show today?
Oh man, I'm really looking forward to having Stefan Purington on the show today. He's the global head of sales and marketing for Comb O&P, and we talk a lot about 3D scanning for this field and sometimes the difficulties that come along with scanning humans. And so they've been really kind of ahead of the game using iPhone 10s and above. And I really look forward to hearing Stefan's journey, not only with Comb, but also kind of we may get into the weeds a little bit on the development side, some of the positives, negatives of just developing specifically for the Apple ecosystem, because sometimes that's a royal pain as well. And then dealing with upgrades and phones and the different phones and that sort of thing. But really hearing the why behind it. And one of the really neat things that I like about Comb is they are massive collaborators. We've had John Naft on the show before, and he has definitely rubbed off on this team as well, just to get people together, kind of pulling in the same direction, as that's what it's going to take to really get digital to take hold within the orthotic and prosthetic field. So really looking forward to hearing from Stefan.
So Stefan, welcome to the show. And how did you first get involved with O&P?
Thank you guys for having me. I really, really appreciate being able to be on the podcast here with you both. As Brent mentioned, you know, Comb O&P is a 3D scanning company, more specific to the medical industry. I started kind of my journey with Comb almost 3 years ago, which I would say was in its infancy. As Brent mentioned, Jonathan Naft had been on the podcast and one of the brains behind the operation here, taking this digital technology and kind of pushing it into the O&P field. John had been scanning for quite a long time since the 90s with things like Omega and Tracer, and had really found a need for a different kind of technology. So I had graduated school and was working in a couple of different industries. And there was really a bigger need for the sales and the outreach side of Comb. So I did not start my life out as a CPO, CO, CP. I was kind of thrown into it, did a lot of training, worked with the team at John's O&P clinic to get my bearings, and then started straight out working with Comb and trying to get more people in O&P scanning. It's been a wild ride so far. You know, we've worked very well with Brent. Love the sponsor, by the way, for today, Filament Innovations. Mike's a really great guy. I've had a lot of great conversations with him. We've met on numerous occasions. A lot of his customers use Comb. You know, a lot of our Comb customers obviously use his printers, and they come highly recommended. So, again, really great to be on the show here, you guys.
So that's the cool thing is that scanning is always kind of like, you know, it's thought about as kind of easy by people who don't do it. And it tends to be really complicated, and it's a really difficult field. I think I saw this before, but every year we do like a roundup of all the companies in the industry and stuff like that. And usually in the printer side of things and 3D printing, that is, you know, there's like a new model or something like that, you know. And in the scanner, it's a battlefield out there because the scanning companies disappear. They don't work out. They don't. So it's a really tough challenge to take on. But I think a lot of people realize how hard 3D scanning is, right?
3D scanning, especially in O&P, is very difficult. Obviously, you know, this technology has been available for a very, very long time. And a lot of companies had kind of retrofitted it for different industries. And there's a lot of different kinds of scanners out there. You know, I hear this a lot in, you know, the talks at the conference and everything, and it's this burden of choice. Where you enter into, you know, you're trying to do 3D scanning in whatever industry you happen to be in, and there are so many players and so many different kinds of technologies at so many different price points that it's kind of difficult to choose. So when we entered into the 3D scanning game, obviously there are other 3D scanners that were already available in O&P. So our goal was to make something very efficient, very user-friendly, and not give people the cost that you would typically incur with something like that. And alongside that, being able to partner and do co-marketing opportunities and everything with a lot of, call them digital players in this industry, different fabricators, you know, people on the educational side of things, printing companies, companies that just do digital modification for O&P. So it's been really, really rewarding to see how many people have kind of come together to help support this scanning mentality. Obviously, there's a need for it. There really always has been. We heard a lot that, you know, 3D scanning was the future of O&P. And previously, we had stated that, well, it's not really the future because there's so many people doing it right now. You know, it's very, very much relevant today. You know, if you're not doing it, you've certainly heard about it and you understand the benefits. You know, my goal really is in my position with Comb is just to try to get people to at least try it out. I think this is definitely where the industry is going, especially in the educational side of things. We've had a lot of really great relationships with different colleges and universities globally. That have kind of thrown this into their curriculum are now teaching their students digital modifications and ways to 3D scan and what devices can be fabricated digitally. And I think it's going to be really, really good for the industry as we move on. It's going to help with, you know, lead times and fabrication costs, not just on these central fabricators, but the individual clinics themselves.
Okay. And is there like, you know, would you say like scanning is going to be used for everything? Or what are cases where scanning really makes sense? You think, you know, you should be looking into this, even if you're like not into the technology or not into the technology grade. And what examples or what cases is really does scanning really make a difference?
Yeah. So even if you're not planning on fabricating using a 3D scan, and this is a little bit more specific here in the United States, but you run into a lot of cases where there are same and similar denials, or maybe you need a reference previous mold or previous cast for a patient that has some difficulties. So the ability to be able to take a scan makes it, number one, a lot less intrusive of a process to, you know, as compared to casting or alginate molds and things like that. But also you essentially keep your records for somebody forever. You know, once you take a scan, it doesn't really go away. There are a lot of patient management softwares that allow you to input scans into patient files. OP being one of them that we have at our clinical office. There's others out there like Nimble. And being able to keep that digital record essentially forever, if you do run into any issues with that patient, you can reference that scan that you would take in. You can compare scans for insurance reimbursements to show volumetric changes over time. So it's not just about the actual modification and fabrication of a device for a patient, but really just that patient experience, I think is one of the biggest benefits of scanning an O&P. So, if you have plenty of techs and you're not worried about fabricating your prosthetic or orthotic devices, using a central fabricator, the benefits are still there for you.
Can you describe how your scanner works, just as far as what is the sweet spot for it? And then, just take our listeners through how they can use it.
Yeah. So we're specific to the O&P industry. We were born and bred from a clinic. We had used white light scanners, structure scanning, and we started doing a lot more lower extremity orthotics. And that kind of kicked us into, in certain circumstances, it's very difficult to scan certain objects with some other scanners, or, if your scanner breaks, the substantial cost that some of the scanners are out there. So we partnered with a company still here in Ohio that was doing some development in the iOS-based 3D scanning when the iPhone 10 came out. So what we do is we leverage the existing technology in newer iPhone devices. This is iPhone 10 through the 14. Basically, any iOS device that has the Face ID camera, it's called True Depth. So we use precise vision algorithms, which reconfigure that information that's received by those cameras, and that's generated into a 3D scan. So as far as usability, obviously a significant portion of households have newer iPhone models in them. So you don't have to go out and purchase, an iPad or a white light scanner. You don't have to plug things into your computer. There's really no wires. It's incredibly mobile. You don't even need data or Wi-Fi in order to capture a scan. So that was a huge benefit for us, traveling to nursing homes and hospitals and things like that. There's a big benefit for, but also the cost to performance. So as iPads and attachments and white light scanners, there's a significant cost to them. So what we wanted to do is have a kind of an unlimited scanning model. So we operate under a subscription or a membership, however you want to call it, where over the course of a year for a relatively inexpensive price, you can scan as much as you want to. Save as many scans as you want to. The storage area for scans is never going to run out of space. So you have the ability to really, really, really get your money's worth. And that's not just for, these one-off cases or the people that would be, it's going to be really easy to scan this person. Let's go ahead and give it a try. You can scan every single patient that comes in. If they come in just to have a screw tightened on their prosthetic device, take it off, scan them. That way you can keep track of that volume over time. We work very well in the orthotics industry, the prosthetics industry, podiatry. There's a lot of people that do chiropractic work that tend to recommend, foot orthotics and things like that. So there's a lot of different industries, specific to medical that works very well with this system. Essentially, if you have an iPhone, we even offer a free trial of it so you can get started. We do, full training sessions where we onboard people. We answer any questions that they have. We obviously don't lock anybody into any particular fabrication facility or any modification software that's open for you to use. We're very transparent with the fact that we're just a scanner. So we allow people to be able to make those kind of secondary decisions on their own. Although we can make recommendations if they're trying to use a specific fabricator or they want to use a certain type of modification software, you know, being in the industry as long as we have, you know, we know a lot of those people. And we can help make recommendations and make introductions, you know, to help with their kind of digital workflow as a whole.
And do you have any idea, like what do I need to get started? Is it just an iPhone and, you know, do I need, like, what are the things I need to really get started with this in my practice?
Yeah. So that's it. As long as you have a compatible iPhone, you can get started. You can scan today. So typically we book a demo call, which takes, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how many questions you might have, where we'll go over the technology and, you know, really make sure that you understand it prior to getting into it. You know, with any new technology, especially technologies in the medical industry, there's always some, you know, frustration with the learning curve. Especially with using the front facing camera, it's a little bit different. So with, you know, your white light scanners or using structure, you have this kind of world view where you're looking at the screen and you're pointing it at something, or you're looking at another screen. With comb, you put the object between you and the scanner, which makes it really, really beneficial if you're trying to scan for low extremity prosthetics and orthotics, because you can then get underneath the limb. Much easier. You're not laying on the floor. You're not kind of bent over in an awkward position while you're looking at a computer screen. Brent, I know that you have used it in the past in some other countries as well. So again, that absence of data or Wi-Fi as you travel tends to be really nice. But yeah, if you have an iPhone, you can email me. You can go on our website and request a demo. Download the app from the App Store. There's a sign up process essentially where you enter some information. And then we will start the trial. We do 10-day free trials, should give you, you know, enough time to be able to get some scans under your belt. And we encourage you to scan as much as you possibly can throughout that time. If you want to go ahead and send scans out to fabricators or scan, you know, patients, coworkers, friends, family, whoever it is, you know, the more scans you do, the better you get at it with any sort of technology, but that's really it. Have an iPhone, request a demo or a trial. We help set you up, have a little call to go over everything, and you're done.
Okay. And then, so, you know, what are some best practice things to do? Like, don't use people, I think is one, that comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, what are things to make it go a little bit better? What can I do?
So you can definitely scan people. That's perfectly fine. We do a majority direct-to-patient scanning in our clinical practice. You can scan plaster, modified or unmodified plaster. You can scan casts. That's really the easiest way. You could scan full, you know, prosthetic limbs if you want to for something like a cosmetic cover. You know, whatever you have around you that's, you know, similar size or shape to whatever body part you would be planning on scanning, you can use. You know, a lot of clinical practices when we work with them, they have things like casts and plaster laying around, and the ability to kind of digitize your back room. I know we had a massive dumpster behind our clinical practice where we just, you know, we had casts, we had plaster. I mean, we threw so much stuff away because we were able to digitize this inventory, and it really helped clean things up. You know, less of an eyesore when you go into the fabrication room than it used to be.
And you know, are there any kind of like other little tips? Like, do we have to put talc on the patient or something like that? Or does it help if they're sitting, or does it help, you know, if any other practical stuff? Or
no. So comb really, you know, texture and lighting condition don't affect comb hardly at all. The TrueDepth camera is a combination of a few different tools. There's an IR dot array, a depth sensor, a camera, those tools essentially aren't affected too much by lighting condition. Now we export in two different file formats. So STL file format, which has no color, and then an OBJ file format, which does have color. And obviously your lighting condition can help affect the clarity of the scan, you know, if you were doing an OBJ. There's no specific preparation that you would need to do. You know, as long as the patient's comfortable and obviously you are comfortable throughout the scan, then that's perfectly fine. We do see some people with semi-transparent, like your check sockets, that will go ahead and put powder or a matting spray on them in order to scan the actual socket, which is perfectly fine. But in most cases, there's no real prep that you have to do. With comb, you start about a foot away from the object, and then you would hit the record button or double tap the screen in order to start the scan. After you start from that 1 foot, and that's really more of a quality of life starting point, you know, from about a foot away, you should be able to see a majority of that object on the screen. Once you begin the scan, you can move in as close as 6 inches, out as far as 21 inches. So you can get a lot closer to the object than you may with other scanners. So the ability to scan for things like transfemoral prosthetics is a big benefit. You know, with our higher K-level patients, typically we'll have them stand in our horizontal bars. We'll have them, you know, like roll the shorts up to the groin, and then we'll just scan around the limb. A lot of people in the industry still do AK by numbers. So this helps, you know, even if you just wanted to get distal shape and then do the rest by numbers, that's perfectly fine. You know, you have the ability to scan a lot more things that you typically wouldn't think were possible. AFOs, KFOs, you know, being able to get behind the limb to get the heel, the shin, you know, over top of it. It's much, much easier and quite a bit faster than some other scanning opportunities that are out there.
Sometimes people feel a little bit price conscious, especially when it comes to the scanning. And little do they know, as far as history wise, I mean, not too long ago, people were spending $60,000 for a Polhemus scanner, laser mm-hmm. scanner. And now we're talking with your phone at sub-$1,000. But even in the app store, there are apps that use the front-facing camera and that sort of thing. And I'd love for you to just share a little bit about what you guys do to make the scan differentiated, but more appropriate for the orthotic and prosthetic field, say, than a free app or a low-cost app off the app store.
Yeah, of course. So obviously, there are, when you search, you know, 3D scanning and everything on the app store, a lot of different apps will pop up. So where we kind of set ourselves apart is obviously, and I think I mentioned this earlier, we were born and bred in the O&P industry. So the application functions, to scan, you know, O&P shapes more specifically. We're only available in the medical industry. So we've embedded, vision algorithms into the application, which are, you know, proprietary to our app. And they help with the tracking of the object. So there may be some other, you know, free true depth based scanning applications that you get on an iPhone, but the issue that you run into is you may lose tracking frequently, or you may have to have a very odd setup to be able to make your scan happen. Another big benefit to those algorithms and to the way that the comb application functions is its accuracy. So if you compare to accuracy amongst scanners, and you know, one of the main reasons why we do the free trial is so you can test it out, you can compare it to the scanning methods that you currently use. You know, we don't claim to be a $60,000 scanner or even a $10,000 scanner. I mean, you have an iPhone, you can get us, you know, $750 a year is the price point for comb. But the accuracy that you get is very, very, very good for what you pay. You know, it's sub 1%. I think the last data that we had was about a mil and a quarter kind of median accuracy on it. And obviously there are conditions and things like that. And that's why we do these demo calls, to get people trained and to get people to take good scans, because no matter what scanner you have, you could take a bad scan. So being able to have this kind of in your hand, in your pocket, with you on the go, you know, once you get used to it, there's big benefits, not just with the accuracy of it over some other scanners and the price point, but just the usability and how easy it is to get started with it. So we kind of set ourselves up for success with the accuracy, with the tracking, with the user interface of it, the different settings that are in it, pretty much every upper and lower extremity orthotic and prosthetic. And even if there's a setting that's not on the device, so say you wanted to scan for like a partial hand prosthesis, you know, you could go ahead and use a setting on the comb application of similar size. So go ahead and use the foot orthotic setting and scan for that. If you wanted to do a burn cover or a mask or something, you could scan with a setting of similar size. So the algorithms do work best if you use the setting that's specific to the object that you're trying to scan, but it's not, you know, you don't have to be that specific with it. You're still going to get a really, really good scan if you use another setting. We find this a lot. If you have a really, really large BK, maybe you want to use the AK setting so you can get more room to scan further up. That's perfectly fine and a very acceptable technique with comb.
And so if you're looking at this, like right now, you're just only the tool, right? Only do the scanner. Correct. Is that you guys are always going to stick to that, or are you moving into, because there's a lot of issues with file cleanup, as you kind of pointed to before, you know, so what's the future for you guys? You're just going to keep focus on the scanning product, or are you going to extend it into lots more software and stuff?
So when we started, we just were really focusing on being the best scanner that we could be. And we take user feedback very, very seriously. So the naming conventions for scans and the type of scan files that can be exported and the scales of those, and being an app, one of the wonderful things is you can augment it to fit things like new devices and new technologies. We released earlier this year an API. So through user authentication, you can, you know, automatically upload scans into, you know, whatever company or whatever modification software, would want to kind of pick up the API. So we are changing, we are evolving with the industry, obviously adding new devices as those come out, and making changes to the application for things like accuracy. You know, hopefully making some changes in the nomenclature of the scans, you know, where those scans can go. Our portal is very, very simple. Essentially, you can log in on a computer, you know, desktop or laptop to access your scans. And at this point, you can download or delete those scans. Now, where the functionality of that portal goes in the future, I can't really say. I know we've been asked to do things like measurements or have some sort of modification piece to it. At this point, we're still just trying to be the best scanner we could be, but you never really know what the future holds.
And how do you see this progressing? I mean, do you think that it, you know, everyone will have these things? Are you going to be on every single orthotist office, or how do you see the market grow in this area?
Yeah, we're seeing more and more clinics and even larger companies pick up 3D scanning. I mean, there are fabrication facilities out there that utilize comb to scan the casts that they have come in. A lot of practitioners, a lot of people in this industry don't understand that, you know, when you send a cast out to a central fabricator, there's a chance they're scanning that cast. And then based off of, you know, models they may have in a bank that, you know, they're fabricating based off of the measurements that they take from a scan of your cast. So big benefit here is, you know, you kind of cut out the shipping process. When you take a scan, you can just email it over or upload it through a portal to some of these fabricators. You know, we all know that, you know, with COVID, the ship costs of everything went astronomically high. The cost of plaster and casting materials have gone up, and it's since settled a little bit. But a lot of people have understood that, hey, you know, I could, you know, purchase a scanner or get a license of a scanner and scan my patient or scan my plaster. You know, I don't pay however many dollars to be able to send a cast out somewhere. It helps on a couple of things. Obviously, the lead time for that is lowered by, you know, 3+ days. The amount of money it costs you is lowered by the shipping costs to get objects there. There's no risk of damage in transit. Obviously, you just have to make sure that you have a good scan and you're ready to go. But we're seeing a lot more practices come to that understanding. We're seeing a lot more practices that want to be able to keep track of the volume of their patient over time. Everybody's goal, I believe, in this industry is to fabricate devices for people that are going to make their lives better. And this is just another way of doing that. So, being able to save some money on your fabrication costs and shipping, being able to digitize your entire inventory and get rid of your backlog of casts and plaster, being able to get devices faster for your patients in some cases. There's a lot of different fabrication facilities out there that take scans. I would say a majority of them take scans in this industry. And a lot of people that are sending casts out to have devices fabricated, I won't say are kind of missing out, but I personally think that they may not be really capturing everything that this industry can give them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'll say it for you. They are missing out.
I'm trying not to be controversial, you know?
Yeah. So what is not controversial is you save a ton of money. So, yeah. For instance, our company, we do a ton of business with Cascade, DAFO. And, one of the things that we did is we sat down and we took a look at our UPS and FedEx bill for the shipping charges. And we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars on an annual basis for shipping charges. And so we started scanning the end of last year. So we've got kind of like one quarter under our belt, but we've already saved thousands of dollars and the turnaround times are so much better going ahead and starting on the digital side of things. So I'd love for you to speak just a little bit about, if you can give some of the highlights of some of the vendors that you do work with currently that take comb scan, because I think one of the neat things that you guys have done is essentially validated your scanner over time. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when people were a little bit not as excited as, other people about scanning, especially vendors themselves. But that has changed a lot, and you guys have a lot to do with that. So I'd love for you to share some of that.
Yeah. And I'll say even, not necessarily the fabrication side of things, but the modification side of things as well. I mean, there are very, very, very few modification softwares at all that won't take a comb scan. Being able to export STLs and OBJs is, those are kind of your industry standards for 3D image files. So, there's so many different modification tools that you can choose as well. And some of those are even tied into different fabricators, Oser Design Studio for one with their leg program for prosthetics. There's Mercurius and Spentes and PVA who we have on some of our workshops from time to time, but there are others out there. I mean, there's even, Mesh Mixer, the Autodesk tools, some of which being free that you can get started modifying with. But, when it comes to fabrication, there really are very few that won't take a scan. And I apologize, I'll try to go through a couple of them here, but I know I won't get to all of them. And, maybe some of them aren't taking scans for everything and only a few things. But obviously, I know that Cascade will take scans, Arizona will take scans, like Grace Prosthetic Fabrication. I just talking to Hussein from True Mold for custom shoes yesterday, because I had a customer that had asked about him. Hirschko and ONP1, and we've done some versions of the comb app from some fabricators out there, like Active Armor and Pine Tree Orthopedic and London Orthotics Consultancy. There are some uses in veterinary science for scanning for prosthetics and orthotics for animals. We built an app for the folks over at Layered, who do some animal prosthetics as well. Scandi Orthopedic out of I apologize, can't remember the exact country that they're in, but there's a lot. The list seems to be growing and growing and growing. So I would definitely recommend, you know, if you have the ability to scan and you're currently using a fabricator, to go ahead and ask them if they take scans, you know, call them up, go through their, whoever their fab manager is or one of their fabricators or the office staff, you know, they should be able to tell you, you know, we scan for some lower extremity, AFOs. We send them out to places like ACOR. There's tons. And again, the list is growing and growing, and growing.
And just a little bit, like if we look at this, well, if we look at the market, I mean, you guys sell to fabricators, you sell it to the individual practitioner. You know, one thing we keep talking about here is like, you know, well, how is this market going to evolve? How do you see it, the future of OMP? Is it going to be these smaller shops continue to do everything? Is it going to split into people doing different functions? How do you see that evolving?
I really, in the case of the individual clinics or in the case of the fabricators?
Both. I mean, both. I'd be interested in both because we're really always curious about how this will affect, how digitization will affect the individual shop, let's say, yep. And also just the fabricator. And if one is going to eat the other, let's say.
So I talk to a lot of individual practices on a daily basis. You know, comb is globally spread now. And I would say that, and I think Brent would agree with me, you know, I feel there's always a need in certain circumstances to do things traditionally. And I don't believe that that process is going to go away ever. I believe there are always cases where, I mean, and we had a patient previously, you know, with paralysis who was in a wheelchair and they physically could not move their limb in a position that we could even get any scanner whatsoever, to be able to scan them. So in that case, we poured the cast up with plaster, we modified the plaster, we scanned that, sent that out for fabrication. So again, you know, there are the traditional ways that you would go about, the fabrication or introductory process to getting that volume. You know, those are still going to be relevant for a very long time, if not forever. But I'm seeing more fabricators that are making an effort to tell people that they accept scans. And there's a lot of benefits to them saying that, which is they get more customers. They can get scans from all over. They don't have to worry about managing, measuring, you know, pouring up casts that they have come in. You know, they can just blink, they get an email. You know, they go put it into a modification software, they take measurements or they modify it, they go and they carve it, or they just pull a sized mold out and they make some heat modifications to it. There are massive benefits to these fabricators just in time save for them and the amount of practitioners that they can get to send them scans. And on the case of the individual practitioners, you know, obviously the benefit is you can see more patients. You know, your casting processes or when you initially see a patient might take an hour or 2 hours, or obviously I'm just spitballing here, but it may take a significant amount of time, whereas you could see them take a scan and be done, and they may be able to get their device faster, which is not just a benefit to you as a practitioner, but also to a benefit to your patient. You know, they don't, gosh, in prosthetics, if somebody eats Chinese food and they have some swelling, you know, at the beginning of the day versus the end of the day, their prosthetic or their orthotic might not fit. We had this case in some of our testing for comb, where we actually had an office member, our orthotic technician, who we scanned in the morning and we scanned him in the afternoon, and we were confused initially. Because there was a volume change between the people that had scanned them in the morning and the people that had scanned him in the afternoon. And the main reason was he went and had lunch and he had been sitting for so long that he had swelling. So, you know, being able to scan, you know, if you cast somebody in the morning, yes, there's a little bit of compression, but, you know, if they have swelling or they have a volume change for whatever reason, that's still going to affect it. Whereas if you took a scan and you knew, you know, when they came back in, it's much, much easier to just make a global reduction or a reduction in a certain portion of their anatomy in order to account for that swelling. And you haven't lost, you don't have to have that patient come back in to get cast again. You can go in, just modify your scan, and send it back out for to have another device fabricated. So again, you know, that time save comes back up.
And yeah, but do you really feel that it'll be like, because to me, the logical thing always is going to be there's a seeing patient guy and he's going to focus on seeing patient, and there's a manufacturing person, they're just going to do all the manufacturing. Or do you really think the interplay of doing the both and is really that advantageous?
So we, as a clinical practice, we do both. So we fabricate in-house as well as send for fabrication. We're fortunate enough to be in Ohio, located very close to places like Ohio Willowood, who do carvings for prosthetics. So we'll scan a patient, we'll get a carving, and instead of casting them, we'll go ahead and do our check sockets over the carving. And then in some cases with our lamination work for our prosthetics, once we're finished and we're happy with our check socket, we'll go ahead and pour that up with plaster. And then we'll laminate over the plaster. And that's kind of a hybrid approach. So I've been seeing more practices kind of start with something like this hybrid approach, or the ones that still want to have their hand in the fabrication process. Obviously, there's nothing wrong with having somebody like Grace down in Florida, you know, fabricate your whole prosthetic limb, or going through the OSER leg program or through Ottobock. You know, some practitioners just want to have their hand in that process. And I don't think that's ever going to change. I think people are still going to try to do things more traditionally and fabricate in-house, but it is going to get more and more and more appealing to outsource a lot of this fabrication. As a clinical practice, we lost our prosthetic technician pretty recently, and, you know, trying to replace him right now has been very difficult. You know, I'm seeing more people jump into the digital modification side of things, the fabrication side of things, or just being a general, you know, practitioner in the prosthetics and orthotics field. You know, techs aren't going away by any means, but they're a little bit harder to replace, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'm seeing kind of a hybrid approach here. I don't want to say that, you know, traditional is going to go away and that everybody's going to be scanning and all these fabricators are just going to be accepting scans. But there's a huge benefit to it. It should continue to increase just the amount of volume of devices that are produced digitally than traditionally. I think it'll happen more and more and more and more and more as time goes on.
We see a lot of parallels to the dental field in a lot of this, where a lot of times dentists will outsource their work to somebody, and then they really concentrate on the evaluation, scanning, and fitting. Do you ever see a time, especially now, and I know it's fairly new with the prosthetic and orthotic assistant, where you may have a time where the main orthotist or prosthetist has the assistant with them, they do kind of the evaluation, all that, they kind of leave the room, and then the assistant is the one doing the scanning and the modifying and that sort of thing under the supervision of the prosthetist and orthotist?
Yeah, 100%. I know practices that their techs do the scanning. So they leave it up to the obviously, I always recommend that everybody who will be, you know, patient forward, that will be seeing a patient in any capacity, is familiar with most of the process. You know, obviously making sure that the practitioner is understanding of, you know, how to take a scan themselves, how to modify themselves. But there is a big benefit to, you know, practitioners get busy. Sometimes you have more than one patient there at the same time, and you have people that come in for device fixes, and it makes it a lot easier if you have other people there that can support you in the scanning or in the modification process. Modifying as a whole doesn't take too much time, but it takes time to get familiar with it. And some of these practitioners don't have that much time in a day. So when you're a tech and you have downtime, you know, start learning a modification tool. You know, there's a big benefit to being able to do that. I know our previous tech had done modifications in the Mercurius software. Our practitioners could both modify in Mercurius and in MSoft and in Rodin. You know, having a tech that could kind of wear a couple of different hats was really, really beneficial to us as a practice.
Okay, that's super cool. And then also there's one other interesting thing is like we've seen this time and time again that there's companies that are practices and they combine that with selling a product to other practices essentially or to the rest of the market. And that seems to be super advantageous. Any idea why this is like an O&P thing? It's not that normal. Usually somebody would do like a separate kind of thing.
Yeah, I know a couple of practices that do it. It's really if you have the bandwidth to be able to produce devices for other practices, I guess why wouldn't you do it? If that makes sense, I mean it's financially beneficial for your own individual practice, and also it the more people that are fabricating devices, obviously there's an air of quality and understanding to the devices that are being manufactured. The same way you would have if you were sending something out to you know Cascade or whoever is going to fabricate your device, but I actually, that's a point that hasn't been made too much is I am seeing more individual practices that are doing some layers of fabrication for people. I see a big benefit to that, in the time save, because, you know, larger fabricators, in some cases have 3+ week lead times. Whereas if you have another O&P practice close to you, that happens to be fabricating certain devices, or maybe they have a carver and you can pay for a carving from them, or maybe they have a 3D printer and you can get check sockets from them. You know, if they have the bandwidth to be able to do that, it's only beneficial to O&P as a whole.
Okay. Hey, Stefan, thank you so much for your time today. I think that's a great look at the scanning part and how you guys are trying to make that all super simple for people. So wonderful. And thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, of course. I really appreciate the invite. Brent, Joris, it was great speaking with you. I know that Brent will see you. I don't know if you're going to be in Indianapolis, but if anybody here listening is, or if you both are, we'd love to meet you in person. Obviously our website, combscan.com or email or call me and love to hear from you.
All right. And Brent, thanks for being here as well today.
Yeah, no, this has been great. And Stefan, thanks for sharing a little bit of your journey, but also being such a great collaborator in our field and encouraging people to be better. So people have good patient outcomes. I think that's super important. And along with that, data to support anything that they might need to as they fight insurance companies with kind of the latest stuff that we have to deal with just to get paid for some of these devices. It's pretty incredible.
Okay. And thank you so much for your attention as well. This episode is brought to us by Filament Innovations. So if you're looking for a 3D printer that keeps on working and a really robust, reliable system doing material extrusion to make your check sockets or other 3D printed parts, we suggest that you check out our sponsor, Filament Innovations. Say hi to Mike and all the guys there, and thank you for watching our podcast. Have a great day.